Moncrief on News Talk.
We don't have any sort of national honour system in this country, but an EU version is to launch this summer called the European Order of Merit. It's divided into three categories: Distinguished Member, Honourable Member and Plain Old Member. Mary Robinson got the Honourable Member nod, while all the members of U2 will become members. John O'Brien is Professor of European Politics at Maynooth University. John, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Do you think this is a good idea?
Well, just to explain where it came from, last year was the 75th anniversary of what's called the Schuman Declaration, named after Robert Schuman, the then Foreign Minister of France. And most people believe that it was the key thing that paved the way for what we know today as the European Union. So within the European Parliament, there were a lot of people who thought this should be marked in some way. And one of the ideas they came up with was this European Order of Merit. I have to say, I don't think it's a good idea. Perhaps it's our post-imperial consciousness, Sean, but it just smacks to me so much of the British honours system. If you think about the damehood and knighthood and then the MBE and the OBE, it's kind of mirrored here in the three categories that you've just read out. So I can see the argument for it, but to me, it just looks too much like that model of honour system, which I think a lot of people are very ambiguous about, to say the least.
Yeah, but would that be just because it's triggering to us? Say, for instance, in France, that's a republic, they have an honour system.
They do. And here, specifically, this is about trying to award people who specifically have contributed to the promotion of Europe, kind of broadly defined, and as importantly, the values that are enshrined in the European treaties. And I think this is why the European Parliament matters so much here. The Parliament has tried to promote democracy and pluralism over a long period of time. It has a number of existing awards, including a very prestigious one called the Sakharov Award, which is a human rights award named after Andrei Sakharov, the Soviet dissident. But this goes a lot further, I think, and it's going to establish itself, I think, pretty quickly as one of the most important kind of honours models in Europe. Now, I can only speak for myself and say that it kind of makes me uneasy. I prefer our model where we don't actually honour people in that way. Other people will take a different view.
Yeah. And now, at the same time, when it's among the European Union and there are various, now obviously we've done well, as in we in Ireland have done well this year, but might it also be seen to be politically motivated to some degree as to who gets an award and who doesn't?
Yeah, I think you could make that argument, certainly. One of the three distinguished members, for example, this year is President Zelensky. I think undoubtedly, however heroically he's performed in his role as president of Ukraine since 2022, there's definitely a political dimension to that. It's a kind of signal of support. The other two people in that category were Angela Merkel, who I think is very undeserving, and Lech Walesa, the leader of Polish Solidarity back in the 1980s and subsequently president of Poland. I think inevitably you're going to see a kind of Eurovision type model emerge here, and people will be looking carefully. Is this balanced regionally? So if we've got a German nominee, we must have a Spanish and Greek nominee, and we must have East Europeans as well as West Europeans. I think inevitably that's going to creep in over time. But for now, I think if we look at the people that actually have been nominated, they are people with real achievements to their name, including Mary Robinson and U2. But I'd worry about the potential for politicization of this. We know in the case of the British model honour system that it's been ritually abused by both Labour and the Conservatives over a long period of time. And very often it ended up with governments that were leaving office awarding their own cronies seats in the House of Lords and knighthoods and things of that kind. I don't think we want Europe to go down that road.
Yeah. Who's in charge of awarding these awards?
Well, the initial impulse came from the European Parliament, but there's a mixed group of leading figures involved. The President of the European Parliament, Roberto Metsola, the President of the European Council, Antonio Costa, President of the Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, and heads of state and government in the member states, as well as the speakers of national parliaments, they all have the right to make appointments or to suggest individuals that might be honoured. But currently, the members of the appointment board include President Metsola, a number of other prominent MEPs, Michel Barnier, who everybody in Ireland will remember for his work on Brexit, and former prime ministers of Portugal, Juan José Manuel Barroso, Enrico Letta from Italy. So it's a mixed bag of people, but the basic kind of impulse for this definitely came from the European Parliament.
Yeah, but given that's a lot of people there, then does that make it less likely that cronyism might creep into it?
You could argue, certainly, that the more diverse potential appointments are, the more diverse the appointment board is, that you can kind of guard this. In other words, it's not in the gift of, say, the president of the commission or the president of the parliament. You've got a real admixture here of different people who have served at very senior level, either nationally or at European level.
Yeah. Now, at the same time, I suppose it'll be significant who they don't give these kinds of awards to. One can't imagine Viktor Orban getting it anytime soon.
No, I would imagine you're absolutely right. Whether he remains in office or not after the upcoming election on the 12th of April, I would imagine that the way the appointment board determines who is a good European may well not include people who are radical nationalists of the kind that Viktor Orban is and others. But that's another indication of the kind of elitist nature of this. So many European jurisdictions have political parties now that are to the right of centre-right conservative parties. It's not just Hungary, it's all across the EU. And what you might be doing here is just opening up another gap where people are able to say, look, these elites keep awarding each other these gongs and prizes of different kinds. They're really not interested in ordinary people. And of course, that's something that populist parties can really exploit.
Yeah. Now, and even as it is, because you mentioned that Zelensky's on this list, that they're giving out yards about this already in Hungary, that they think it's an insult to them.
Well, of course, the election in Hungary is absolutely existential. Orban is 20 points behind in the opinion polls. He has literally tried to weaponize Ukraine in the course of this election campaign. Last week, he had his goons literally interdict a van that contained about 80 million euros worth of cash that was going to Ukraine in a perfectly legitimate way, arguing that this was Ukraine trying to interfere overtly in the Hungarian election. In fact, the opposite is true. We know that there is a significant Russian presence in Budapest, and they are helping Orban in all kinds of different ways. But I think we'll reach a critical moment on the 12th of April, because if Orban succeeds in stealing this election, and I am absolutely convinced that is what he is trying to do, it's going to be a grave crisis, not just for Hungary, but for the EU, because we have never had an election in the European Union that was overtly stolen by authoritarians. And if it happens, I think it's going to be immensely challenging.
Would the outside world have enough observers there to be able to accurately gauge whether that happens or not, do you think?
Yes, we will. There are organizations like the OSCE, the Organization for Security in Europe. They have lots of Irish people who actually do this kind of election observance. But already, an election is not just about what happens on the day. Orban has so rigged the system already in advance that we can say that past elections in Hungary, they may have been free, but they certainly weren't fair. In contrast to RTE or News Talk during an election campaign, no opposition leader can get time in the Hungarian from the Hungarian public broadcaster. But the real question this time is whether he's prepared to go further, because he's so far behind in the polls and because I think he's facing prison for the amount of money that the circle around him have literally stolen over the last 15 years or so, and because of all kinds of other things they've done as well. So the question is, if you're so far behind in the polls, will you do something desperate, something that you've never done before? And if that does happen, then how does the European Union respond?
Whoa. Well, what levers are available to the European Union to respond to something like that?
Well, there is something called the rule of law regulation. This was introduced around the time of COVID. The EU had very unsuccessfully tried to battle the rule of law abuses that were going on in Hungary after 2010, but it finally had a financial instrument. So think about the structural funds, Sean, and if they were withheld from us, let's go back 20 years or so, we all know how important they were. Well, Hungary had 31 billion euros in EU money frozen or withheld because of the abuses. But then if you skip forward to 2023, Orban was threatening to veto the EU opening accession negotiations with Ukraine. And because of that, the European Commission gave back up to 10 billion euros. Now, Orban has continued with his extortion racket. Nothing has really changed. He's been doing it in recent weeks in relation to the 90 billion euro loan that the EU is trying to give Ukraine. And the same pattern is there. So the instruments are there, but it depends on the political will of the Europeans to actually use them. But I stress, we'll have never seen anything like this before if this is to happen on the 12th of April. And it would be a real test, I think, of European democracy if something like this happens.
Yeah, there isn't any mechanism available whereby you can limit a country's voting powers.
Yes, there is. Article 7, potentially Article 7.3 of the Treaty on European Union. But the problem is that before you get to 7.3, you have to get past 7.2. And that requires complete unanimity amongst the other member states if you're going to potentially sanction another member state. And the EU's problem is that for many years, Orban had Poland with him in the European Council to protect him. So that meant that they couldn't actually get to do the sanctions under 7.3. Now he's got Slovakia. Prime Minister Fico is a strong ally. He is also opposing the 90 billion euro loan to Ukraine. So Article 7 is not the route through which this could happen. I think in Brussels, everybody is hoping that Peter Magyar, the leader of the opposition party, TISA, that he will win the election and that Viktor Orban's career will be over. But I still think that this is a long way to go before it plays out.
Yeah, I think that might well overshadow whoever the recipients of the EU Order of Merit. John, thanks a million for talking to us today. That was John O'Brien there, Professor of European Politics at Maynooth University. One texter says, you'd think with all that's going on in the world at the moment, the EU would have more to be concerned about. Well, of course, they're concerned about those things as well. And this was all announced last year, as John was saying, on the 75th anniversary. So that you know, they didn't know the way things were going to be a year hence. Disappointing to hear you two in the same category as Mary Robinson. Not a word from Bono on the situation in Gaza until really recently. Well, as probably many people know, they did release that EP where they did have things to say about Gaza. Somebody else says, we're a republic. The idea that we are all equal. So an honour system flies in the face of that. Yeah, I suppose, though, is there not also room there to kind of recognise people when they've done exceptional things for the state or for other people, even?
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.